I do want to use this moment to educate the church biblically, okay? So kind of just turn the page here. But it is my role as a spiritual leader to always give the people of God, not to be politically correct, but to be biblically correct, okay? So the following statement is going through all of our media outlets, so I want to be very sensitive to it. But you need to hear me, people of God, is that we are not called to choose a political side. We are called to stand on the biblical side. What does the Bible say? Politics never influence our biblical position. Our biblical position should influence every area of life. As many have heard recently, the decision that the Supreme Court has made in regards to the law of the land, specifically to Roe v. Wade on abortion. People have questions. I want to tell you what the Bible says, not what Josiah says. Okay? What the Bible says. I didn't write the Bible, take it up with God, okay? The Bible says. The Bible says that yes, we do honor women and we honor men. But the Bible makes it very clear that biblical birth begins in the womb, okay? That is the Bible. Jeremiah 1:5, they're gonna put the scripture on the screen so you know this ain't my word. The Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. That is proof that an unborn child already has a call of God on their life, okay? There's your biblical proof. There is no such thing as a biblical standpoint of abortion. It is clear that abortion is not of God, okay? So we as believers, with compassion, come on somebody, let me teach you maturity. We never throw hate. We never use the scriptures to beat up unbelievers. But we as believers know that that is not a behavior. Abortion is not of God. It is the killing, it is the taking of a life. And so therefore, we stand and we do thank God for that decision, because 63 million babies have been killed through abortion. That's a heartbreak, right? And don't make this political, but what about this and what about that? I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's a life, okay? The Bible also says that our body is not of our own. Our body belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So it is not my body, my choice. It is God's. My body belongs to God, and I have to honor God with my body. Can I get an amen from some Bible believers? Can I get an amen for some Bible believers? I'm telling you what the Bible says. My body belongs to the Lord, okay? Now, with that being said, I believe this is not the finish line. This is the starting point. Because if more children that are going to be unwanted are going to be born, we need to up what we do as a church to help those children in those areas. Now, I know we're a do something church. I want to tell you what we have already been doing. So this is not what we're going to do. It's what we've already been doing, and we want to do more. We support, every time you give of your tithe and your offering, you probably don't know this, but I hope you do. I talk about it. But there are three organizations that we support. First being Casa Teresa. Right? Casa Teresa, we support them. It is a home for women of recovery that perhaps don't have a place when they have a child. We support them and we give to them monthly as a resource to help women that maybe having a child and don't have the resources. We support them. The Dream Center, we give to them every month, that support families and women that need help with children. We also support the Orange County Rescue Mission that again help women and do housing. And so we want to do even more, and we want to be there for people. Come on, you ought to clap. That's the type of church we've always been. So we've been doing that. We're going to continue doing that, okay? And of course, we want to continue to pray. And the last thing I'll say is this. If you're at any one of our campuses or watching online and you maybe had an abortion, this is not a moment of condemnation. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus covers you. Now you know the scriptures. You can walk in freedom. This is not about shame and condemnation. It's about you coming to the cross. All of us are sinners. All of us have received the grace of God. And we welcome you to the family of God. Come on, say amen, okay? All right. Settled? Tell your neighbor, say That's what the Bible says. So that's what the Bible says, okay? And that's why we live our lives. All right, so let's get into today's message. And I want to talk today. Today we're going to actually begin a new series of messages this weekend across all our campuses, or not just this weekend, but this summer. We call it Summer at Freedom House. And what we do in Summer at Freedom House is we teach topically different scriptures. When you walked in, they handed you a message outline. Grab your outline. And as you remain standing, we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse, and just one verse here, verse 13. And I'm going to pick apart this verse here and exegete from it what the biblical background is. And if you're there, say, "I'm there." Galatians 5:13. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. And here's what the Bible says to us who are believers. It says here, it says, "For you have been called to live in what?" Someone say freedom, right? Freedom. We've been called to live in freedom. That's a calling on our lives. He says, my brothers and sisters. He says, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Here's the alternative. Instead, someone say instead, he says, use your freedom to serve one another. And Lord tells us through the Spirit to use. He says, how do, in what way? In love. The Bible says we are called to freedom. I want to talk to you today, a message I've entitled Faith for Freedom. Faith for the freedom that we need to have in Christ. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord. And I thank you because we want to stand on your word. God, we are called and created in your image. And so, Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures that don't ever leave us in confusion, but want to empower us to live honoring and submitted and humble to God. And when we do that, we get to experience the freedom of God. God, we are not people that are in oppression. We are people to live in the empowering freedom of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So speak to us today, God, that we might experience not partial freedom, but complete freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God a hand clap. You may be seated. And just turn to the person next to you and just tell them, you are free in Christ. Say, you are free. You are free in Christ, in Jesus' name. I want to talk today about kingdom freedom, about the freedom that God gives us so that we can live in a place not bound, but we can live in a place that abounds and is in the freedom that God has for us. And I want to start with this statement, and here's the statement is, it is possible, it's my opening thoughts, then we'll get to the context of the scripture, it is possible to be forgiven, but not walking in total freedom. Okay, I'm gonna say it one more time. It is possible to be forgiven on your way to heaven, like you got, the blood of Jesus has forgiven you, but you have not fully been walking in the freedom that Christ has called you to live. For example, you could say, Jesus, you're my savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins, right? Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. We never earn our forgiveness that is freely given to us. But it is possible for you to have received that forgiveness, but every day walking, beating yourself up, every day walking and tormenting yourself and living in a mental prison of hell. And God did not die on the cross for us to still have the same habits, the same routines, the same self-defeating addictions that don't allow us to live in the freedom that God has called us to live. Somebody say amen. And so I want to talk about how we're not just forgiven, but how God, as the verses we just read, says we're called to be in freedom. And when it comes to that freedom, I want to define it because back to culture that we live in, a lot of people, and even sometimes it filters into the church or believers, is we think that freedom is apart from Christ. No. Freedom is not apart from Christ, it's through Christ. It's a theological statement. Come on, Bible college, you can write this down if you want. Freedom is not apart from Christ, it is through Christ. So that's not your first point, that's just a statement you can write somewhere. Freedom is not apart from Christ, it is only through Christ. So true freedom only comes into our mind, into our emotions, into our family, into our marriage, into my children, into my home. It only comes through Christ, not apart from Christ. Why is that? Because we live in a world that tries to paint a picture that if you want freedom, you got to get away from God. Get away from the Bible. That if you want freedom, you got to get away from quote unquote religious organizations. You know, if you want freedom, then you know, definitely don't go to church, because if you go to church and you start living for God, you're not going to be in freedom. You're going to be in rules, and you're going to be in a prison. You're going to lock up your future, and it's all thrown away because you won't be able to hang out with the boys. You won't be able to hang out with the girl. You won't be able to do what you want. And you know what? If you want to live free, just go and get away from God and away from the Bible, because I'm free. And we all know that that is a lie from the pit of hell, because talk to someone who's lived a little bit and try, come on somebody, and try to run from God, and you know you weren't free, you were toe up. And that's just the truth. And we have to break down that false belief, that picture that the enemy tries to paint, that freedom is apart from God. When the truth is no, the further you're away from God, from God's ways, the more you're bound. You know, talk to someone with a testimony. Come on, somebody who's been through something. When I ran from God, I was more broken, but when I was close to God is when I was more free. Because somebody will tell you that they've never been more free than when they serve Jesus. Come on, is there anybody who can give me a witness today? Come on, come on, come on, Sunday morning. I've never been more free than when I've surrendered to Jesus. And this is a biblical truth, because Jesus gives true freedom. His principles and his love is forgiveness for us to experience that. Now, in the book of Galatians context here, Paul the apostle is writing this particular verse. And let's go back to our verse here in verse 13. The Bible says it like this. It says that, for you have been called to live in what? In what? Freedom. Welcome to Freedom House, by the way. Come on, somebody. Freedom House, right? So we've been called. Some of you have been called to Freedom House too. But we've been called to live in freedom. And Paul is articulating to the believers in the book of Galatians, which is written to the church in Galatia, he's articulating to the new believers this principle of being free in Christ, like Christ has come to set us free. Now, what makes this writing, this particular book in the Bible, such a quandary is because Paul is actually writing about freedom in Christ while he's imprisoned in jail for preaching the gospel. So it's almost like, what do you mean? It's a paradox, right? Like, you're talking about freedom, but you're in prison for preaching the gospel. But the power behind that is that Paul is writing is that freedom is not circumstantial. Freedom is in Christ. That I could be surrounded with all kinds of drama. I can be surrounded by all kinds of nonsense. I can be surrounded in a crazy world, but I got freedom in my soul that the devil didn't give me and the devil can't take away. Come on now. He's like, we got freedom in Christ regardless of our circumstance. You know, you ever met a circumstantial Christian? Circumstantial Christian is their level in love for God is based on their circumstance. Come on. My freedom is greater than my circumstance. My love for God is greater than my circumstance. You know, it's just so powerful seeing testimonies in our church where people may have had cancer in their body, but they've never been so free to worship God. Why? Because their worship goes beyond their circumstance. Come on, somebody. People that are going through things, and you've seen these powerful testimonies. You're like, how is it that you're still worshiping? How are you still positive? How are you still trusting God? It's because my freedom in Christ goes beyond my circumstance, and that's where God calls us to be. Someone say, I'm called to freedom. I'm called to freedom. And so when Paul is writing, he was teaching from the perspective, say perspective, that Christ had already freed us, the price has been paid, the devil has been defeated, and our posture is, even if I feel in a physical place of difficulty, Jesus already set me free. He gave me freedom, and I'm gonna live free. I will not settle for anything to bind me up. And the posture of Christ's freedom, right, this freedom we're called to, is that we're not trying to get free, we're already free. It's the finished work of the cross, that we have to receive that in our lives. Galatians 5:1, you can just write this down somewhere, but if you want to turn the camera, it says that it is for freedom that Christ set us free, and it's period. Christ already set us free because the power of sin, death, and shame, guilt, and condemnation has been nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 says it like this, says that in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities when he shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. That's Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, where the Bible says Jesus already disarmed the spiritual rulers. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, hear me now, it's not just a Good Friday message, it's an everyday message. It's a good Monday, good Tuesday, good Wednesday, come on, good Thursday. Why? Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, he disarmed the devil, and now no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, come on, what God has done for us, he has put it into our lives and into our future. This is called the victory of the believer. I can't get into that whole theology right now, but someone just say, I have victory. God has given it to me, so I'm not trying to work for my freedom. I'm trying to live in my freedom. I need you to understand that I've been called to freedom. Like, I'm supposed to walk free from anything that the enemy is trying to bind me up in. Anything that the devil, anything that my past or anything that a person is trying to put on me, I'm not called to live in that. I'm called to live in freedom. Can you say I'm called to live in freedom? And so this is what we are striving for, so that we can do what God has called us to do. So the battle, watch this now, the battle is not to get free, the battle is to stay free. Say stay free. Because now I know, and I'm gonna break it down in moments to come right now, but you might be dealing with somebody, well, Pastor, I'm trying to get free from this. I'm trying to get free. I just want to challenge that thinking in this teaching. That maybe the reason why you're not free is because you believe you've been called to be bound. But if we can renew our minds and say, no, Jesus did not die on the cross for me to have partial freedom. But Jesus died on the cross for me to have complete and total freedom. And I'm not called to live with a little bit of unforgiveness or a little bit of this, but I'm gonna go after everything God has for me, because I'm called to live in freedom. Say, I'm called to freedom. And so this is something I wanna teach on today, because I believe that the level of freedom you experience is the level to which God can use you. God can only use you to the level that you're not bound up and you can go forward in God, because the difference is stepping into everything God has for you. So let's write this down. Point number one, how do we live in freedom? Well, we have to watch out for these things and write this down here. It's like this, is that we have to acknowledge that today's complacency will become tomorrow's captivity, okay? Today's complacency becomes tomorrow's captivity. So, Pastor, well, I'm called to freedom. Well, how do I get free? How do I stay free? You have to realize that wherever in your life you're complacent, it's gonna become where the devil's gonna get you, hold you captive. It's gonna hold you back. It's gonna be where the enemy puts that in your life. And I just wanna read Luke. This was the first scripture that Jesus read when he was in the temple. And he read Luke 4, 18 and 19. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim" what? "Freedom." Come on, read it together. He's proclaimed what? "Freedom for the prisoner." That's all of us. "Recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so the Bible tells us that Jesus came for this theme that we're talking about, freedom, and to declare God's favor upon our lives so that we can live where God has called us to live. Someone say total freedom. You see, this is what the appetite I want to put into your spirit in today's teaching is, that God, you called me to be in complete freedom. I'm not just going to settle for a little bit of anger. I'm not going to settle for partial freedom. I'm not going to settle, God, for a little bit of unforgiveness, where it's like I feel like I got this, but then there's these one or two things that just are keeping me back. There's just one or two things where well, you know, No. I'm Lord, if you called me to complete freedom, then God, renew my mind, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and show me, God, where the enemy is trying to keep me bound, where I've not been called to partial freedom, but I've been called to total freedom. And anybody want to be free? Come on, somebody. I want to live free in the things that God has for me. I don't want to pass it, because I will always pass on my chains, metaphorically, to the next generation. Now, the enemy is cunning, okay? The devil is He's slick, okay? And when we think about the enemy trying to keep us bound, can I tell you, he doesn't use, like we tend to think, and I know, you know, we've all done analogies where it's like chains, and we think of chains where the enemy chains us to our past, and we're not free because I'm chained to my past, or I'm chained to this addiction, or I'm chained to this unforgiveness. And we get this mental picture of like, I'm trying to break this chain to get away from the devil. But can I tell you, the enemy doesn't use chains to keep you bound. So you wanna know what the enemy uses to keep you bound? It's not chains, it's comfort. Oh, we about to get into it now. Here we go. Because if he put a chain on, you'd be like, don't put no chains on me. I sung the song, break every chain, break every chain. We need to change the lyric and say, break every comfort, break every, come on somebody. Come on! Okay, we're about to get in this thing now. All right. Okay, here we go. All right, roll up your sleeves. We're about to get to work. Oh, no, no! He's not using chains. He left them at Home Depot. You want to know what the enemy uses to get us to settle for partial freedom? He says, bring the comfort. Bring the comfort. No, don't bring a chain. He'll know I'm after him if we bring a chain. No, don't bring a chain. Come here, Papa, have a seat. You're okay, you know what? You're not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that bad. Just take a nap. It's okay. Don't read the Bible right now. You got a long day. Just sleep another 30 minutes. It's okay. Because you know what the truth is? It's not that bad. I mean, she should know by now. After all you've done and all you said, and you know, just relax. You worked hard. Just kick back. I got to start preaching like this every Sunday. It was great. Had a long weekend. You know, it's okay. You know, don't just, you know, it's not like it's a big addiction. You know, it's not like the bad ones. Like people have bad addictions. It's not like you're hurting anybody doing that. You're okay. You're all right. You know, just. And we settle for partial freedom. It's not chains, church. It's not chains that the enemy uses. It's comfort. Because today's complacency becomes tomorrow's captivity. How many men, how many women, how many marriages, how many people died in their comfort? And it wasn't because they had bad hearts. It's because you settled. You know what? It's not that bad. You know what? It won't be. But we've got to declare, God, you did not die on a cross for me to settle for partial freedom. God, you have not called me to get comfortable in my addiction, comfortable in my unforgiveness, comfortable in my bitterness, comfortable in my low-level knowledge of your word, comfortable in not knowing who you are. I don't want to be comfortable. I want to be called to everything you called me to be. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to break every comfort, break every comfort, break every comfort in the name of, come on, tell somebody, break every comfort. Tell two or three people, say, break every comfort, break every comfort, break every comfort, break every comfort. No, break every comfort. Wake us up, Lord. Because it's not chains, no. Devil's not that dumb. You're gonna put chains, get them chains off of me. He's gonna put you in comfort. So here's the question, I'm almost done. Where are you comfortable? We where you're supposed to be called. Where? I want you to focus that in your devotional time this week. Just say, God, where have I settled for comfort, partial freedom, when I should have been called to total freedom? Don't look for chains. Look for this. Look for comfort. Where have you gone for comfort? What substance are you abusing for comfort? What, to try to soothe it when you should be freed from it or healed from it. Where is that? Because that, brothers and sisters, is where the enemy will keep you bound. That is where he uses his greatest weapon, people of God, where we stand to do that. Because what does Jesus call us to? John chapter 10 and verse 10, let's read this together. The Bible says like this. It says the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So who is the thief? That's Satan. He likes to steal things. He says, I have come that they may have what? Life, and have it to the what? So Jesus called us to live the abundant life, the full life, right? Not partial. Someone say full measure. So that's the full life. I don't want partial freedom. Fill it up to the top, right? So he's called to give us like a free full tank of gas. That made you happy, huh? I'll take it, Lord. Okay. Now, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what's the danger? Is when we sit in a place of complacency, of comfort, and not experience total freedom, Satan, the Bible says, will kill, steal, and destroy. Now you may be saying, well, this is not killing anything, or what is he stealing? Well, I'll tell you what he's stealing. You're like, I'm not dead. Yeah, but it's stealing the legacy and the abundance God has for you because you're settling for partial freedom. Well, what is it killing? I'm not dead. Like, I'm still actually walking and living. Everything that's dead is not in a coffin. Okay. Let that sink. Okay? Everything that's dead is not in a coffin. What's dead? Your destiny is being robbed of you. It's dying. What is it destroying? Well, I don't see things destroying because I'm actually still doing pretty good at work because I know how to function with my dysfunction. No. It's destroying things that money cannot buy. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your legacy. It's destroying your peace. It's destroying, come on, your joy. It's destroying your mind. Talk to me, somebody. It's destroying what money cannot buy. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he has called us to live in this place of freedom. It is for freedom Christ made free. I'm going to give you the last 2 points, then we'll pray. Just write this down, and I guess I'll break them down more in weeks to come. Today's reluctancy becomes tomorrow's regret. And number three, today's actions become tomorrow's abundance. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Say, today's actions becomes tomorrow's abundance. What you decide to do today, forget about yesterday, it's gone. What you decide to do right now will determine tomorrow's abundance. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9 says, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest a decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And verse 9, don't ever forget this verse. It says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. For at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap because we love the Word of God. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's Word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.